Let's go to the Word. Amen. Go with me, please, to John chapter 6, and we're going to read from 61 to 69. But before we read, what I want to do today is to really, really share and show you how critical the Word of God is in it, and how the connection between the Word of God and the eternal life that is on the inside of us is so critical. But before I do that, I heard a story the other day. I heard of two guys who were arguing, and they were arguing about the Word, having a heated discussion about what the Bible says and what the Bible doesn't say. Two friends, and one friend said to the other, "You don't even know the Bible. In fact, I don't even think you know the Lord's Prayer. In fact, I bet you, I'll give you $10 if you can repeat the Lord's Prayer." The other guy said, "Sure, I'll take that on. I can do it." And so he started, "Now I lay me down to sleep. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. How many of you know it? If I should die before I awake, I pray the Lord my soul to take." Some of you still praying that prayer, right? And so as he was praying that prayer, the other friend who had challenged him started, put his hand in his pocket and started to laugh, "Ha, ha, ha. I didn't know you even knew it," and handed him the $10. Some of you will get it later. The truth is, so many of us claim to know the Word of God, act like we know the Word of God, when we have no true understanding of God's Word. Yet the Word of God is so absolutely critical. Amen? There's a game that I hear sometimes on the local radio station, Bible or not Bible. So let me ask you one or two questions. I want you to tell me whether it's Bible or not. All right? The Bible says God helps those who help themselves. Bible or no Bible? No Bible. How many of you say no Bible? How many of you say Bible? The Bible says, "Judge not." So you shouldn't be telling people that they're wrong, they need to repent, that's evil. Bible or not? Bible? How many of you say it's Bible? Judge not. Bible, 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 Bible. Well, now you got to understand, judge not with the interpretation. Because we hear that quoted so often, don't we? You know, the Bible says judge not, which means people should be allowed to do whatever they want to do, and you have no right as a believer to say, "You know what? That is not acceptable as a Christian. That type of language is not acceptable. That type of behavior is not acceptable. That lifestyle is not acceptable." Amen. The minute you begin to declare or say that certain things are sinful or wrong, and certain habits or practices need to stop, it's so easy these days to hear someone say, "The Bible says judge not." And many times it's not coming from people who call themselves unbelievers. Within the body of Christ, Christians somehow feel that what God wants us to do and the right thing to do is just to accept anything and everything, because after all, God says we're supposed to love, and that's all you're supposed to do is love. Yeah, but when you love someone, you speak the truth. Amen. Not to destroy them, but hopefully to help them. The truth is, the Bible does not say that we should not judge. The Bible says that we should judge wisely. Are you hearing me? And so we need, when we're exercising judgment, it should be based upon the wisdom that is in God's Word. Judging is not sending people to hell. Judging is saying, this is right, this is wrong. It's discriminating between two things. And we have a responsibility as Christians to know the Word of God enough to be able to judge certain things and to say, this is wrong. Why? Because the Word of God says it's wrong. This is right because the Word of God says it's right. This doesn't matter because the Word of God doesn't express any opinion on it. Are you hearing me? But God's Word must rule and God's Word must govern our life. And when it comes to this eternal life that we have on the inside of us, the Word of God is critical. Hallelujah. And if we ignore the Word of God, we're not going to experience the fullness of the eternal life, the full benefit of the eternal life that is on the inside of us. So now let's read the passage that I'm going to begin with in John chapter 6, from 6 to 1 to 6 to 9. Let's read it together. When Jesus knew in himself that his disciples complained about this, he said to them, does this offend you? What then if you should see, I want to hear you, the Son of Man ascend where he was before? It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you, the words, say that, the words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life. Let me say, tell you something right now about the Word of God or the words that Jesus speak. The Word of God or the words that Jesus speak are containers. They are containers of spirit and life. What he says, the words I speak to you are spirit and life. His words are containers of spirit and life. His words carry spirit and life. His words convey spirit and life. His words cultivate spirit and life. His word is the channel that conveys and carries spirit and life. His spirit, his life, contained in his word. His word carries, channels, conveys spirit and life. Did you hear me? So that life that we call the eternal life is carried by, contained in, communicated by, conveyed to us by his word. That's the truth I want to drive home this morning. Amen? When God wants to do something, he sends his word. His word does not return void. His word, according to the scripture, performs that which he wills. So God reveals his will by his word, and his word performs his will, does his works. He upholds all things by the word of his power. Why is it the word of his power? Because it contains his power. It carries his power. It conveys his power. His power is at work in it. The word works by the power of the Spirit to perform the will of God, to do the works of God in us and through us. His words are also called words of life. Why? Because the word contains this eternal life, carries this eternal life, is the channel of this eternal life, conveys this eternal life, communicates this eternal life. It is the instrument. The word works by the power of the Spirit to perform the will of God, to impart the life of Christ, to manifest the power of Christ to us and through us. Say to the neighbor, the word that the words that I speak to you are spirit and life. So those words impart the spirit and the life of Christ to all those who believe them. Are you hearing me? Let's go on. But there are some of you who do not believe. For Jesus knew from the beginning, in fact, please continue to read with me. Jesus knew from the beginning who they were who did not believe and who would betray him. And he said, therefore, I have said to you that no one can come to me unless he has been granted to him by my Father. From that time, many of his disciples went back. You see, they came to church. They didn't like what the pastor said. Amen. What he said was hard because he was talking about eating my flesh, drinking my blood. They have problem with that because he didn't say judge not. He didn't say, you can just do whatever you want to do. That's fine. You can wear anything you want to wear, talk and use any kind of language you want to use. It doesn't matter. No, the preacher said you needed to correct certain things, repent certain things, do certain things, and you didn't like it. So you stopped coming. You went to look for another church. That day, Jesus preached. He had a crowd. When he got through preaching, the church was empty. Because some folks don't want to be corrected. Some folks think they know more and better than the preacher. Oh, I'm preaching better than you are. Amen. So when they come and the preacher says anything they don't agree with, instead of just learning and asking questions that might help them grow, they figure they already know. I don't agree with him. Nah. And they leave. Well, they didn't agree with Jesus that day, and they left by the droves. I remember many years ago when we first started, we just had a handful of people. And there was a particular lady and her family that were among the handful, very faithful. And I thought they would be there forever. And we were meeting that then at the Armory place. It's broken down. Just a handful. Maybe we're about 20 people or something like that. I'm not even sure we had that many at that time. And I remember that Sunday when I went and I didn't see her and her family. And the next week, I didn't see her and her family. And when I called, she had decided she was going somewhere else. I remember how defeated I felt. Because when she and her family left, that was almost half of the congregation. Said, Bishop, we've come a long ways. Hey, but Jesus, I did better than Jesus because when Jesus, all of them left. Amen. He went from a mega church with a mega pastor to just having 12 people. So, they left him the next verse. Oh. Now listen to Jesus. Jesus is bold. After they all left, he turned to the 12. You want to go too? In other words, I'm not going to change the message. I'm not going to compromise the word just to please you. Amen. That's not what I'm here. I didn't come, said Jesus, to have a crowd. I came to fulfill a mission, to do an assignment, and my responsibility is to give you God's word. If you receive it, great. It will benefit you. It will profit you. If you reject it, that's your decision. But I'm not going to change just to keep you. So he said, okay, those are gone. What about you guys? You want to go too? And I love what Peter said. Next verse, Peter said, go to verse 60. But Simon Peter answered him, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. Amen. Hallelujah. To whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal. That statement by Peter lets us know that he, Peter, clearly understood the strong connection between the words that Jesus spoke and the eternal life Jesus gives. He understood you have the words of eternal life. You have the words that contain eternal life, the words that convey eternal life, the words that are the channel of eternal life, the words that communicate eternal life, the words that govern this eternal life. You have those words. He clearly understood that without the words of eternal life, without hearing, understanding, and believing the words of Jesus, he could not receive the eternal life Jesus promised, nor could he and his family personally profit from this eternal life, nor could he walk in the power of this eternal life without the words that convey that eternal life to us. Peter knew Jesus, I'm not very educated. I'm a fisherman. I can't talk. I don't know book, as they would say in some places. But Jesus, I'm not stupid. You know, me go a distance, I put a separation between you and me and the words that give eternal life, the words that impart eternal life, the words that communicate eternal life. Jesus, I don't know much, but I know that I need to stay close to you because I need to hear the words of eternal life, believe the words of eternal life, comprehend the words of eternal life, act upon the words of eternal life, because that's the only way I will benefit, receive the eternal life, and profit from the eternal life. Jesus, I'm not going anywhere. Those people want to go, they can go. But I am staying right here because I need the words of eternal life. And those words, only you can speak them. Listen, that needs to be your attitude and my attitude. You need to understand that the eternal life that is in you comes with so many benefits. The eternal life that is inside of you makes you like Jesus in every way. The eternal life that is inside of you is the source of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering, temperance, self-control, faith, meekness, all of those wonderful fruits. The eternal life is the source of that. Power to heal, power to deliver, power to cast out devils. That eternal life that is on the inside of you is the source of all of that. But the words of Christ are the channels, the conveyors, the containers of that eternal life. Say to your neighbor, like Peter, I'm staying right here. I'm allowing no distance to be placed between me and the words of eternal life. Amen? So Peter refused to go. Now later we see Peter at the gate of the temple. The lame man there, Peter says to him, silver and gold have I none. But what I have, I give unto you. In the name of Jesus Christ of Nazareth, rise and walk. Later we see Peter at Dorcas's house, Tabitha, who had died. Peter gets on his knees and prays, and then Peter says, now Tabitha, Dorcas, arise, and she arises from the dead. Later we see Peter walking and healing the sick with his shadow. We see Peter standing up to preach one day, and 3,000 people got saved. No wonder Peter said to Jesus, I'm going nowhere. I'm going to stay right here so I can continue to hear the words of eternal life. Continue to hear them, believe them, understand them, and receive from and through them the eternal life that will enable me to be like you, Jesus, and talk like you, Jesus, and walk like you, Jesus, and operate in the earth like you, Jesus. That eternal life that will cause me to be as you are. Are you listening to me? One more time, say to the person next to you, you desperately need the words of eternal life. These words work by the power of the Spirit. The words of God work by the power of the Spirit to do the works of God in your life, to do the works of God through you, to do the works of God in the earth, to do the works of God in your circumstances. It is the word working by the power of the Spirit that causes God's will to be done. He reveals his will in his word, then the word that has revealed his will performs the works by his Spirit. It's called the word of life, and it's called the word of his power for that very reason. Hallelujah. So, say to your neighbor, I may not know book. And by the way, I don't know if everybody understands that, but that's the way it's said in Liberia when you're not educated. You didn't go to school, and Peter didn't go to school. Peter didn't have any formal education. He was a lowly fisherman, so Peter did not know book. Amen? But it's one thing to have education. It's another thing to be wise. You can be educated and you can be a fool, and you can be uneducated and wise. And at this point, Peter is walking in wisdom. Amen. He's walking in wisdom. And I'm saying to every one of you, I believe every single one of us here today, we are wise. Amen. We are wise. We all don't have a lot of education, but we are wise. And we're wise enough to know that we need the words of eternal life. And the only place you can find the words of eternal life is from Jesus. He possesses the words of eternal life. And if we listen to Jesus, those words that contain eternal life will impart eternal life to our spirits, to our souls, to our bodies, into our world. Say hallelujah! Amen. Amen. So now, go to Hebrews 4:12. I want to continue to just build on this theme, because after today, I hope you don't play with the word of God. Hebrews 4:12, let's read that together. For the word of God is living and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, even to the division of soul and spirit and of joints and marrow, and is the discerner. But I just want you to zero in on the first statement. Say, for the word of God is living and powerful. One translation says, it is alive and full of power. It is alive. It contains eternal life. It is powerful or full in power. It contains the power of that life. Where do you find God's life? In his word. Where do you find God's power? In his word. God's word is the channel of God's life and power. God's word works by the Spirit to perform God's works. So you go to the book of Genesis. And the earth was without form and void. And the Spirit of God moved upon the waters. And God wanted to create. And then God said, let there be. And his word, by the power of the Spirit, created everything. That word, by the power of the Spirit, is still creating everything. That word, by the power of the Spirit, is still holding everything together. And so when you lay hold of the word, you're laying hold of the life and the power of God contained in that word. Hallelujah. Are you still here? One more time. The word of God is alive and full of power. The word of God is alive. And another translation says, working. Alive and active, alive and working. Right now, the word that I'm speaking, to the degree that it is his word, it is living, it is full of power, and it is working. Say the word. Alive, full of power. It's working in me now. Imparting the eternal life to my spirit, to my soul, to my body, into my life, into my circumstances, accomplishing God's will. Hallelujah. Go to John 14, 9 and 10. Let's read that together. Jesus said to him, to Philip, you know, Philip said, Jesus, show us the Father, right? Remember that? And Jesus said, have I been with you so long, and yet you have not known me, Philip? He who has seen me has seen the Father. So how can you say, show us the Father? You know, and I believe that that's where we're headed, folks. Say to your neighbor, this is where we're headed. We're headed to the place where, through our identity with Jesus, he in us and us in him, he living his life through us, the same way the Father lived his life through us. When people say, show us Jesus, we say, ah, you mean you've been with me ever since and you haven't seen Jesus? That is God's plan. That is what God is producing, and the word has a huge part to play in that transformation. So the word is working right now in us, conforming us to the image of Jesus, to the point that we will one day be able to say, when you see him, you see me. It does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we shall be like him, conformed to his image. I was listening to a testimony of a lady who died, that had what they call the near-death experience, and she was sharing all of her experiences. And one of the things she shared that blessed my heart, she had a conversation with God. She heard the voice of God. And she asked God a question concerning who she was. And God said to her, according to her now, she said, God said to her, you are the image and the likeness. I'm the original. Oh, did you hear that? I said, God is cool. God said to her, you are the image and the likeness. I'm the original. That's where we're headed. Say to your neighbor, I'm the image. I'm the likeness. He's original. Amen. He's the original. And God is working by the power of the Spirit that is in that word to conform us to his image outwardly. We already are inwardly, but the confirmation now must affect our soul and our bodies. One day we got to have these glorified bodies that don't get tired, don't get sick, don't fall asleep when the preacher is preaching. That glorified body, amen, in the name of Jesus, that can go through doors, that will be eternal, that will live forever and ever. That's part of the plan. But even that plan is the word. Because the Bible says there will be a shout, a word will be spoken, and then our bodies will rise and be transformed. Even the transformation of our bodies will be the fruit, the product of the word, working by the Spirit. One more time. Hey, who am I? No, I'm not original. Say, you are the image and the likeness. And who is he? Who are you? Image and likeness. Who is he? That's the plan. That's the plan of redemption. That's why Jesus left heaven to come. That's why the eternal life lives inside of you. And that's why the word is working by the power of the Spirit to conform you to that image. Let's go on. Keep reading. Do you not believe that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Now watch this. The words that I speak to you, I do not speak on my own authority, but the Father who dwells in me. So Jesus is working all of these miracles, right? And Jesus says it is the Father who is doing the works. But notice how the Father is doing his works. The Father is doing his works through the words of the Father, which Jesus is speaking. So in actuality, it's the words of the Father being spoken by Jesus that is actually doing the works of the Father that people are experiencing. The Father is doing the works. But how is he doing the works? By putting his words into the mouth of his servant. And as the servant speaks his words, that word that contains his power, his life, does his works, miracles, signs, wonders. When God wants to work through a man, God puts his words in his mouth. When God wants to work a miracle for you, God puts his words in your mouth. When God wants to change your circumstances, God puts his word in your mouth. When God wants to heal your body, God puts his words in your mouth. When God wants to supply your need and do a financial miracle, God puts his words in your mouth. When God wants to deliver you from the enemy, he puts his words in your mouth. When God wants to strengthen you with his strength, he puts his words in your mouth. When he wants to make a way out of no way, he puts your words, his words, into your mouth. When he wants to move a mountain that is before you, he says, speak to it. He puts your, his words in your mouth. Say hallelujah. Say thank God for the words of eternal life. One last scripture and then I'm done. Just go to the next chapter. Go to John chapter 15. Words are so powerful. Words are so powerful. Before I comment, and I shared a little bit of this on Friday with the folks that were there. We have a conference room in the administrative building. And we had six chairs that we inherited from the time we moved here over 13 years ago that were still there. And over a year plus ago, in my mind, I said, man, these chairs they've done well. You know, they really need to be changed. 1 year plus later, the chairs were still there. Nothing changed. And then just a few weeks ago, I was in the company of Hannibal and Marie Antoinette and one other person. And I said out of my mouth, these chairs need to be changed. They need to go. A few days later, I got a picture on my phone, a text where Marie Antoinette had taken a picture of the conference room. The chairs that were there were not there. They have been replaced. New chairs have been put in. And when I saw that, the Spirit of God spoke to me. And he said, You thought about this over a year plus, and nothing changed. Everything remained the same. In fact, it didn't remain the same. They got worse. Because of corruption that is in this world, things naturally progress downward. They naturally deteriorate. They naturally go from bad to worse. And so when you do nothing, situation, those chairs actually got worse. He said, you thought about it, you desired it, but nothing happened because you said nothing. But the minute you spoke, your words provoked action. This time, human action. And he said, that's just the same it is in the realm of the spirit. He says, so many things remain the same spiritually in the lives of my people because they are silent. They never open their mouths to say what they need to be saying. They do not declare what they need to be declaring. They do not give voice to my word. For the scripture says the angels hearken to the voice. To the voice, to the voice, to the voice, to the voice. Angels hearken to the voice of his word. When his word is given voice to, angels are provoked to act. God's spirit is provoked to act. The power that is in the word is provoked when God's word is giving voice to. Nothing changes for many because they never give voice to my word. I stopped and I paused. I said, little old me? You mean I spoke? And just the words that came out of my mouth provoked human action? Can you imagine what happens when God speaks on your behalf? Can you imagine what happens in the realm of the spirit when God utters his word? Can you imagine what happens when God puts his word in your mouth and tells you, now speak my word? They are the words of eternal life. Do you think angels hear that word and do nothing? Do you think demons hear that word and laugh? Do you think circumstances hear that word and don't bow? The Roman centurion said, Lord, you don't even have to come to my house, man. All you got to do, you got the words of eternal life. You got those words that work by the Spirit of God to do the will of God. You got the word that works by the Spirit to heal the sick. You don't need to be here physically. Just speak the word. Just send the word. And the word will do the work. The word will do the miracle. The word will do the transformation. The word will work the work of God in my life and for me. Just send the word. I am the true vine. My father is the vine dresser, the gardener. I'm tempted to comment on this and teach on it, but I got to realize that's a different sermon. Okay? But the gardener, the job of the gardener is to make create the conditions that are right for the fruit or the plant to prosper. Amen? The gardener is not evil. The gardener doesn't come into the garden looking for people to throw into the fire. He comes there to attend to it. And when he sees one plant struggling, he doesn't just uproot it and throw it away. He first will do everything he can to save it, nurture it, supply what it's lacking, reposition it. Sometimes it's not getting enough light, so he has to lift it up so the sunlight that it needs to come. Jesus is not talking about casting people into hell here. He's talking about how the Father comes committed to making us fruitful. I am the true vine. My Father is the gardener. Let's read on. Every branch in me that does not bear fruit. Now, that's the point I'm making. That word he takes away literally means he lifts up. He lifts up. But I'm not going to comment on that. And every branch that bears fruit, he prunes, that it may do what? Bear more fruit. You see, this is what the Father wants. He wants this life that is inside of you, this eternal life, to manifest outwardly. He wants it to express itself outwardly. Love, joy, peace, long-suffering. He wants this eternal life to express itself outwardly. Amen? In terms of the fruit of the Spirit, and manifest itself outwardly in terms of power. So all of us have this potential, but it has to be nurtured. We have to grow in our understanding so that we become more and more fruitful. So when he comes and he sees some who are not bearing much fruit at all because they're not in the right position they need to be in, they're covered by a lot of stuff, he doesn't throw them into the fire. He lifts them up, repositions them so they get the sunlight and the help they need in order to start bearing fruit. And those that are bearing fruit, he says, you know, are great. I can bear even more fruit through you. And then he prunes, in other words, the things that are on the outside that can be hindering the level of our productivity. And so he starts removing those things out of the way to make room so more of his life can enter into our souls and into our bodies to bring forth even more fruit and manifest even greater power. Because in the end, the Father will be glorified. Let's read on. So the Father wants more fruit. You are already clean because of the word which I have spoken to you. Next verse. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you. A branch that is not in the vine cannot bear any fruit. It's going to wither and die. For a branch to bear fruit, it has to be connected to the vine. Because the life that the branch needs is not found in the branch, it's found in the vine. Are you hearing me? So that's what Jesus is talking about here. I will stick another sermon to really develop this. So what Jesus is saying to his disciples, guys, for you to bear fruit, much fruit and greater fruit, you got to be connected to me. You got to be in me, and I got to be in you. And we got to become one. Like the branch and the vine are one, we're one. How many of you have received Christ? At salvation, that took place. He came into you, you came into him, and now you are one with him. He's living in you, you are living in him. And because he's living in you and you're living in him, you now can bear much, much fruit. Separated from him, you can produce nothing. But in him, you can be as he. And here's the good news. If you have believed on him, you are in him. And he is in you. And so you have now the potential to bear much fruit. All right? Go on. I am the vine, you are the branches. He who abides in me, I him, bears much fruit. For without me, you can do nothing. Next verse. If anyone does not abide in me, he is cast out as a branch and is withered. And they gather them and throw them into the fire, and they are burned. Next verse. If you abide, now let me tell you that verse 6, what Jesus is saying, if you abide in me and I abide in you, because you got my life in you, I'm in you, you and me, you are going to bear much fruit. Now, if you don't abide in me, which means if you're not in me, if you're not in me, you're good for nothing. You exist, but you don't have life. So if a man does not abide in me, it's a reference to the unbeliever. The man who chooses not to be in Christ is good for nothing. He has no life. He cannot bear fruit. But that is not concerned. That's not a reference to you. Because you have chosen to abide in him. You have chosen to be joined in him. Therefore, you are not one of those that will be cast away. You are one of those who are going to bear fruit. And if your fruit isn't much, the Father will work on you to get you to bear more fruit. And he will keep working on you to get you to bear more fruit. But if you're one of those who say, I don't need Christ, I can bear fruit by myself. He says, look, if you're not connected to me, you got no life. You exist, but you don't have life. And you will bear no fruit. You're good for nothing. But to be cast into the fire. And you know what that is. So for the Christian, the man who is in Christ, you can rejoice. What you have here now is the potential to bring forth as much fruit as Jesus. But obviously the fruit is not automatic, because he talks about those who are bearing much fruit and those who are bearing no fruit. So the level of fruitfulness is not automatic. The potential is the same. But the actual fruitfulness depends on how we relate and what we do as a result of this union. Go on, I'm going to show you, and I'm going to end. Go back to verse 6. Go to verse 7. If you abide in me, if you abide in me, and what? You will ask what you desire, and it shall be done for you. Next verse. By this, my Father is glorified that you bear much fruit. So notice how he concluded that. If ye abide in me, and what? My words abide in you. You will do what? Bear much fruit. So often what's missing and what keeps us from bearing much fruit, even though we are in him and he is in us, is because his words are not abiding in us richly. You said, Bishop, the word again? Yeah. It's the word again, because let me use another analogy. That of the tree, the vine, the tree. The life of the tree is in the roots. Isn't that so? The fruit of the tree is on the branch. The fruit is the manifestation, the expression of the life of the tree that is hidden in the roots. Question, how does the life that is in the roots get to the branch upon which the fruit is born? There's something called sap. The sap transports the life that is in the roots, the source, to the branch. And then the life transported from the root in the branch bears its fruit on the branch. You got to hear me. The life is in Jesus. The roots, Jesus, is the source. You and I are the branches. Upon us, his fruit is born. The question is, how do you get his life from the root to the branch? For the fruit, it's called the sap of the word of God. Just like the sap transports the life in the root to the branch, so the word of God that contains the life of God, that carries the life of God, that communicates the life of God, is the transportation system that transports the life, the power that is in the roots to you, the branch, so that his life bears fruit on you. Oh, there is no shortage of the life. All of Jesus is in you, in your spirit. All of Jesus is in your spirit. It's the root system. It's the repository of the eternal life in which all good things dwell. Hey, yeah, yeah, yeah. And God has appointed his word to be the means, the channel, the instrument, the conduit. Hallelujah. The transporting agent that will take that life that is in Jesus in your spirit and bring it to your soul, and do a work in your soul, and bring it to your body, and do a work in your body, and bring it to your circumstances, and do a work to your circumstances. Bring it to your finances, and do a work in your finances. Bring it to your business, and do a work in your business. Bring it to your ministry, and do a work in your ministry. Bring it to your preaching, and do a work in your preaching. Do it, do it, do it. Bring it into the world and do a work in the nations. Hallelujah. Robo, come on, raise your hand and thank God for the power. The power, the power, the power. The power of the word. The life is in the word. The power is in the word. The word works by the Spirit to accomplish the works of God in us, with us, by us, and through us. I now understand why Peter said, where shall I go? I need the words of eternal life. And those words are found only in you, Jesus. So I'm going to live in you, and I'm going to continue to let you live in me, and I'm going to let your word dwell in me richly. I'm going to meditate on this word. I'm going to speak this word. I'm going to put this word in my mind. I'm putting it in my heart. I'm putting it in my mouth. I'm putting it in my life. It's going to be the word in the morning, the word in the afternoon, the word In the daylight and at nighttime, it's going to be the word. Because every time I connect and communicate and make contact with your word, I'm making contact with eternal life. I'm making contact with your power. And that word by the Spirit will do its work in my life. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. And amen. And in the name of Jesus, I say to you, be healed. May the word of healing, which God has spoken, and which he now puts in my mouth, produce supernatural healing in your bodies, in your minds, in your emotions, in your finances, in the name of Jesus. May the word, by the power of the Spirit, produce transformation and changes in your life. I declare your health will go from one degree of glory to another degree, and you're going to become healthier and healthier and healthier until you are completely well in the name of Jesus. I declare it. I declare it. Your finances receive life now from the word of God and begin to experience transformation in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Your spiritual life, your spirit be strengthened now with might by the power of the word. Strengthen your spirit in Jesus' name. Your faith be strengthened by the power of the word in Jesus' name. You go from glory, you go from glory, you go from glory, you go from glory to glory in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah! 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 Yeah, celebrate! Glory! Thank you, Jesus. Hey, Yarabobo Sheka. Yarabobo Sheka. Yes, Lord, work by your word, work by your word, work by your word, work by your word. Work, Lord, by your word. In the name of Jesus. And God said, and it was. Yeah, he is. That's the word working in him. That's the word working in him. You don't know what yokes are being broken. What changes are happening in his soul right now? Come on, raise your hand. Say, Lord, we have in you the words of eternal life. Your word that works by the power of your spirit to accomplish your will shall never return empty and void. Please be seated. Now listen, this message is being recorded. And you can watch it again on YouTube. If you have our church's podcast, you can go there, get the podcast, put Bishop Johnson, I think, or Bishop Darlington Johnson, and you'll have it. But you can hear these sermons over and over and over again. Because you see, remember, the word is the channel. You got to get that word inside of you. I'm not going anywhere. I'm not going to allow no distance, Peter said, between me and your words. Because your words contain, carry, and convey the eternal life I need. Now hear me. Hear the word over and over again. Meditate on the word all the time. Speak the word all the time. Not what you see, but what God said. Oh, you know, let me say this. I'm sorry. No, I'll let it stay. I'm over time. but speak the word. Now, the first thing the word will do is save you from hell. If it does nothing else for you, let the word at least do that for you. Let it deliver you from eternal damnation. Let it make you righteous in God's sight. Let it secure for you the forgiveness of all your sins. Let it cause you to be born again. The Bible says we're born again by the living and incorruptible word of God. Let the word of God, by the power of the Spirit, regenerate you. So if you're here today or you're watching and you have not placed your faith in Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, you have not believed the word that he died for you, he paid the price for you, he arose again, and he's coming back, that he's the Savior, that he's the Lord, that his blood paid the price for your sin. If you haven't heard it, I'm telling you, that's what he did. He died on the cross, bore your sins, paid your price. If you have heard it but you haven't acted upon it, now is the time. Believe this word, receive this life so you can be born again. Let the word regenerate you. Let it make you a child of God. Let it save you from hell. Let it qualify you for heaven right now. If you're watching or if you're here, you say, Bishop, I want to pray that prayer right now that will cause me to be born again. I want to pray that prayer right now that will cause all my sins to be forgiven and cause me to be saved. I want to pray that prayer right now that will secure a place for me in heaven. If you're here right now, just raise your hand. You can't be ashamed. And you're saying, Bishop, I want you to pray this prayer with me. Raise your hand. And if you're watching online, you can pray this prayer wherever you are. Wherever you are. Wherever you are. Okay, let's pray together. Those who are here, you haven't made Christ Jesus your Lord, you need to do so. Those of you who are watching, if you haven't made Christ your Lord, it's urgent. You don't know how much time you have before Christ comes or before you go. Let's receive him now in Jesus' name. Let's pray. Church, please help us. Say, Father God, we've heard the gospel. Jesus Christ is Savior, is Lord. We believe he died for our sins. We believe his blood paid the price for our sins. We believe you raised him from the dead. And we know we cannot save ourselves. Today, I repent of trusting in myself, trusting in my works. I repent of a life of sin. Lord Jesus, forgive me. Now come into my heart. Live inside of me. I pray, save my soul. In Jesus' name, amen. Simple prayer, the words you spoke, if they came from your heart, was enough to change your destination forever. If you prayed that prayer, we want to help you grow. There's information that is available right now online that you can tap into. If you pray that prayer here, right after the service, please come. Let me talk with you. I want to counsel you. I want to help you. We got a lot of resources to help you grow, because the goal now is for that word to abide in you mightily. Amen? So that the word can do its work in you. So come and talk to me. If you don't have a church home, you say, Bishop, I come to this church, but really I haven't made this my church home. I'm not a member, and I want to be a member, and I want you pastors here to be my pastor. Also, after the service, I'll be here for a few minutes. Please come and let me shake your hands, talk with you, and make sure we're giving you the help and guidance you need. In Jesus' name. Amen. You're glad you came?